Blog Talk Radio.
Whoa. Why y'all so happy?
And you don't know? Charvette Mitchell is on the radio.
It's time to get motivated,
excited,
and influenced.
Why?
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, live from Richmond, Virginia. And now, here to motivate, excite, and influence you,
Charvette Mitchell.
What's going on? Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and certainly welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. I'm your lovely, stunning, and magnificent host, if I say so myself. I'm the host, Charvette Mitchell, and I'm glad to have you joining us. That's right, we're broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, but heard all across the World Wide Web. We say hello to all of our listeners from all across all of the cities, those that are listening from various blogs and websites and from iTunes. We say holla, we appreciate you. Listen, the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show airs every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We bring you phenomenal shows and wonderful guests. Oh, my goodness. We have coming up in September, you got to put it on your calendar. We have Kim Burrell coming. We have Crystal Aiken coming. Oh, just a whole bunch of other people. And listen, to stay up to date so you know who's coming on the show and all of the great topics, you want to go to my official website, which is www.mitchell-productions.com. Again, that's Mitchell-productions.com. And, oh, follow me on Twitter. Go to twitter.com/Charvette, real easy for you. And Facebook, of course, my Facebook friends. I love you guys. Facebook.com/Charvette. And, again, check me out on iTunes. So, you know, the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence. And today's topic, ladies and gentlemen, today's topic is hot. It is called Till Debt Do Us Part. Oh, that's right. I said debt. To debt do us part, marriage and finances. We have a spotlight author that's joining us. She's in the virtual green room, and she's going to be coming on a little bit later on in the show. Her name is Michelle Larks, and she wrote a wonderful book called Till Debt Do Us Part, and we're going to get to talk to her. But before I do that, you know how I like to do. You know I like to just have conversations and chit and chat, and that's what we're going to do. I pulled together a phenomenal panel that's just going to talk about marriage and finances, so I think you all are ready to get this party started. So let me bring my guest to the mic. Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest, you heard her husband on my show called Where Are the Happily Married Men? Please welcome Co-Pastor Felicia Dixon. Welcome to the show, Co-Pastor Dixon.
Thank you very much, and hello to everyone.
All right, glad to have you. Ladies and gentlemen, over to her right is the dynamic musical muse, Elder Raymond Lindsay. Welcome to the show, Elder Lindsay.
Hey, I am glad to be with you today. Hi, everybody.
All right, we're glad to have you. Oh, my goodness, back by popular demand, you heard this lovely lady on our segment called First Lady. Welcome, Lady Chandra Scott. Welcome, Lady Chandra.
Thank you, Charvette. It's wonderful to be here.
Oh, we're glad to have you. And last but certainly not least is our prepaid legal guru that's joining us, Mr. James Monterio. Welcome to the show, James.
Good, how you doing?
Great, glad to have you. All right. So we're going to go ahead and jump right on in. Again, we're talking about marriage and finances. If you look at different polls and survey tests and all of that, there's one common theme that comes up often about marital discord, and that is around money. That is the most commonly reported reason for marital discord is money. And Lady Chandra, I'm going to put you on the hot seat first. Is that all right?
That's fine.
All right. Why do you think money is reported as the top reason for issues in marriages?
Charvette, stress is going to accompany lack. And when there's not enough money to cover needs or, you know, sometimes even our desires, we can get so uptight about it. And everybody is going to know that we are stressed out. Now, we're not going to bother the people at church, and we're not going to bother the people down the road, but the people that are going to be the object of all that verbal diarrhea is going to be the ones closest to us, our spouses.
My goodness.
You know, it's so easy for us to reason that since that spouse is the only other person in the house spending money, that the lack is his or her fault. You know, they're the ones with the access to the same account. Why don't they have a better job? Go ahead and blame them. And so that discord usually starts from a seat of accusation.
Wow. So, Co-Pastor Felicia, do you think money is really the issue, the main issue, or are there other underlying conflicts that surface through money and through the misuse or use of finances in a marriage?
Well, actually, I think that money has gotten a bad rap because –
We are the ones that make the decision what we do with the money. So I don't think that money is necessarily the issue. If we were to really look at the big picture, I think we'd see that most marital problems that are associated with money are a direct result of four things. Number one, there's a failure to effectively communicate.
Mm-hmm.
There's a failure to plan. There's a lack of discipline to stick to a plan, and then there's a failure to come to some level of agreement. I think the first three are pretty much self-explanatory, but
yeah.
just let me expound on number four for just
sure.
a bit. I think that there's a failure to come to some level of agreement. I don't think that both parties have to always have the same opinion. We can have differing opinions, but we can come to an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, let's say, I don't think that this will work, but let's try it. And if it doesn't work, then let's initiate something else. So we have a differing opinion, but we have at least come to some level of agreement about the same issue. And I think that if we can get these four points intact, I think that money will no longer be a point of weakness. I think that the enemy uses money as a point of weakness for a lot of marriages.
All right. Well said, well said. Okay, so for my gentlemen that are on the panel, I'm going to let you all kind of share your opinions. When really should couples start discussing their views on finances? So should it happen during the dating stage? Should it be, you know, only once they get engaged or after marriage? When should couples start looking at their views and their opinions about finances? And I'm going to go to Elder Raymond first.
Well, I'm going to say this. I believe that it starts, whether you like it or not, even at the very beginning of the date. Because most women coming into a dating situation wants to know, number one, are you going to take care of the meal?
Right.
You know, where are you taking me? And do you work? You know, I mean, I'm talking about the women that are dealing right now in 2009.
Right.
You know, it's not like it was days and years past with my grandmother and them. All you had to do is really work hard on the farm and just have a love for the woman. But now she wants to make sure she's going to be taken care of.
That's right.
So on day one, from the very time that she sees you, you got to look good, present your package, and then on top of that, you have to maintain your package.
All right. I don't know what else. I can't add nothing to that. James, what do you have to say? What do you have to say? When should couples start discussing their views on finances?
Well, I agree with Pastor Lindsay, excuse me, Elder Lindsay, basically in the beginning, because I was told once before that when you first meet a woman, you
mm-hmm.
meet the representative. Or the woman says, I meet the representative. I don't really meet the real person.
Oh.
Till 3 or 4 months later. So like Mr. Lindsay said that, you know, you have to present yourself. You have to put forth your best effort. I mean, like in today's day, most people look at people as basically who they are. You know,
right.
your first initial meet is the first perception that they get of you. So absolutely in the beginning.
Oh, right. So I think that's a fair assessment. I think both of your comments are certainly accurate because people do start picking up cues from the onset. You know, whether you have a specific conversation, you can kind of look at a person's lifestyle and look at things that they're doing to see how they handle money. So I'm going to stay with the guys for a second. Certainly there is an age-old debate about whether, you know, men should handle money. Men are smarter. Men are more analytical. Men aren't emotional. I'm starting stuff. Men aren't emotional spenders. All of these debates that are out there. Who should handle the finances in a marriage?
Now, are you going to me or?
Well, Elder Lindsay, yes, take that first.
All right. Well, let me just first say I'm a strong believer in a man working and supplying for his house. I'm also in a strong believer that every grown person in that house should be have some kind of contribution
okay.
that should help with all of the different things that's going on in the house. But I am a strong thing about equal opportunity. If my wife is good with figures,
mm-hmm.
Most definitely she's going to be the one who manages how the money is appropriated throughout the house. But, you know, in the Bible we talk about if one is weak, then the other one is strong.
Right.
And we complement each other like that. And I think that so you got to kind of in the very beginning of the relationship kind of find out who's good at what.
Great, and
you
then
know,
decide
and,
from there. All right, I like that.
And decide from there.
All right, James, anything you want to add to that?
Basically, he's hit the nail on the head. I mean, you have to find out who has the best organizational skills. I mean, to basically handle the finances, because basically when it comes down to managing money, it's about detail.
Right.
And the only thing I can say on top of that is just keeping an open line of communication. I know a lot of guys who basically their wife pays all the bills in the house. However, they know how much is being spent, what's being spent, when it's being spent. It's not like they're left in the dark. And then they have an open line of communication whereby seeing what's been paid, when it's been paid, and how much has been paid. So it's not like they're in the dark. It's just who has the best organizational skills, who is best able to handle those details. And sometimes it may be the man, and sometimes it may be the female. But, the woman, it doesn't matter as long as that you're one and you both understand that we both have to, as far as it's concerned, we both have to be on the same page at the same time, knowing what's going on with the money at the same time.
All right.
You know what, Shafat? And he's really on point with that, because you're really early on in the beginning of your relationship, you'll find out who the big spender is and who doesn't have any control.
Right. And that goes back to what Pastor Felicia said about communication. Certainly, so that certainly supports that. So, Lady Chandra, let me pull you in here. Does it matter who makes more money? So nowadays, the playing field is very level. We certainly acknowledge that there is a disparity in salaries for men and salaries for women in certain careers. But on average nowadays, the playing field is kind of level. Does it matter who makes more money as far as who should handle the finances?
Charvette, it shouldn't matter. But usually there are two instances in marriages where it does.
Okay.
The first is where one of the spouses is a little bit insecure. Lots of times a husband is trained from childhood to associate his worth with his ability to provide or put food on the table.
Right.
And if his wife makes more than him, he can kind of forget that they're on the same team and start to feel like she's threatening his manhood by taking his role. So he starts to see her as wearing the pants in the family, and he's not going to like that.
Wow.
But likewise, the wife has to remember that being the boss in the workplace doesn't make her the boss in the home place.
All right.
The second instance is when one of the spouses isn't receiving the same level of outside compensation, and they start to feel like they're being treated unfairly or they're being unappreciated, because the better compensated spouse has an attitude of superiority.
Okay.
So that you've got a spouse who's making the bulk of the household income, making the other spouse feel unimportant, not really realizing that he or she can only do what they do because of what the other one does. But if both spouses are secure in who they are and are supportive of one another and are both equally and unselfishly dedicated to the vision of their home, then it really doesn't matter who makes the most.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are getting some sound advice. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, right here on Blog Talk Radio. So excited to have all of our listeners tuning in from all across the World Wide Web. We say hello to those that are joining us also in the chat room. How you doing? All right, so Co-Pastor Felicia, should there be joint accounts in a married couple's, finances? Should they have joint accounts? Or can couples really, operate their finances separately? Maybe we can just keep this all separate.
Well, let me give you two different perspectives. First of all, from the spiritual perspective, the Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So my first point of contact, so to speak, would be to encourage everybody, first of all, pray and ask God, what is the best plan for this marriage? Since he is the one that has joined the two of you together, certainly he would know the plan that will keep you together.
Yes.
So that would be the spiritual aspect that I would say. Pray and ask God, because we know that the enemy uses or looks for points of weakness. Ask God, what is the best plan so that the enemy will not have a foothold to penetrate this marriage? That's the first thing. Now, from the secular perspective, let me say that there is, in my opinion, no definitive answer. What works for your household may not necessarily work in another household.
Okay.
You have got to sit down and determine, not based on what anybody else has said or based on what anybody else has done, but you have to evaluate your own place and find out what's best for you. I have been married for 20 years, and I can tell you from the start that we tried what I knew worked for my parents.
Uh-huh.
It worked for them then. It's working for them now. it did not work for us.
Oh, wow. And congratulations on the 20 years. I certainly got to stop and applaud
that. Thank you. But it did not work for us. But what we allowed was we did not see that as a failure. We looked at that as a point of weakness, and we said, okay, you know, give it a trial and error period. If this works, keep it up. If it doesn't work, sit down, reevaluate, and find out what will work, because I tell you, there is nothing worse than living with a spouse where there is one account and both parties are spending, and then you come up and there's no communication, and then before you know it, you have an onslaught of overdraft charges.
Yeah.
And who in the world has money to throw away nowadays?
Nobody.
So sit down and communicate. I cannot stress enough the importance of effective communication. You determine based on what's going on in your house, what's good for your house, and stick with that plan.
Woo! I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, listen, Lady Chandra, I'm going to bring you back to the mic also. What about handling debt that's brought into the marriage? So, you know, there may be some who say, okay, well, we got married, but he had, you know, charged off credit cards and defaulted on, you know, student loans or what have you, and he's trying to clear that up. But now is that my debt as well? I mean, what do we do about debt that's brought into the marriage on the man or the woman side?
Well, first, Charvette, I would suggest to everyone to find out about all prior debt before those vows are exchanged.
Amen.
When we do premarital counseling, we say bring your credit report with you so that your spouse is going to know what they're getting into. But once they are married, what's hers is his and vice versa. That overall household income is going to be affected regardless of who incurred that debt. That the couple needs to develop a plan of action together to alleviate it, because the money is going to come out of the general pot. You know, the Bible says that the borrower is subject or slave to the lender.
Mm-hmm.
And back in slavery times, you know, if you were a free man and you married a slave, you marrying her did not buy her freedom.
Wow.
You bought a whole lot of the chains and the bonds and the slavery issues that master enforced on her into your life, so that somebody else may be sleeping with your wife, somebody else may be working her a different way.
Wow.
Well, you've got somebody who is bringing slavery into the marriage with them, but because you marry them doesn't make it go away. You're gonna have to share in those bonds until those bonds are released.
All right, and you need to find out about it early.
Find out early.
Oh, my goodness. Listeners, you are getting some awesome advice today. If you just tuned in, welcome. You're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We're so excited to have you joining us in this segment called Till Debt Do Us Part, Marriage and Finances. We have the lovely Michelle Larks that is in the virtual studio that's going to be coming to the mic shortly. She's going to talk to us about a wonderful Christian fiction she wrote called Till Debt Do Us Part. We're going to hear from her a little bit later, but we're so excited that you're tuning in and you're listening to the wonderful panel that we have here with co-pastor Felicia Dixon and Lady Chandra Scott, Elder Raymond Lindsay, and James Monterio. All right, so I'm coming back to the guys. I'm coming back to the guys. Yes, I am. I'm putting you back in the hot seat. You're back in the hot seat. So how should married couples handle financial problems? Okay, we're here. We're married for however long. There are problems. One person is spending, you know, horribly. Maybe one person just pays bills late. You know, how do you handle financial problems in a marriage? And I'm going to let James answer first, then we'll go to Elder Raymond.
All right.
Basically, you got to, like the previous person said, you have to sit down and put together an action plan. And first of all, you need to be mature about it and check your ego at the door.
All
right. Because you're coming together to finally resolve this issue, because bills are bills. And you want to spend money on it to resolve them. That's the only way you're going to get rid of them. You need to be able to communicate and be able to look at each other as equals and come together, put together an action plan. And once you put together an action plan, stick to it. I know a lot of times in a relationship or marriage, like you said, you have a person who's an impulse buyer who likes to spend money. That person, he may have to take some precautionary measures so he doesn't go out and spend extra money, like maybe not carry around a credit card or put himself on a weekly budget. Say, I'm only going to spend X amount of money. And if I see something I want, I mean, not to say you can't get it, but talk to your wife, talk to your spouse, and say, look, this is something I really would like to purchase. Is this something that we can afford in our budget right now? Is this something that we can do? And 9 times out of 10, she loves you, I'm sure she does, she will say, sure, let's just budget it correctly and just move forward. But it's just mainly the communication and making sure that you look at each other as mature adults and trying to resolve situations and moving forward to pay your bills.
All right, good practical advice. All right, Elder Raymond, what do you have to say about how couples should, married couples should handle financial problems?
Well, I totally agree with my brother, but on a, also on another note, I believe that counseling is key.
Okay.
Most people go through counseling for 6 to 8 weeks before they get married,
mm-hmm.
but I believe that a married couple should have constant counseling in different areas, including the finance, because the truth of the matter is we do have responsibilities, and it ain't just paying the rent and paying the mortgage and transportation, life, and gas.
Right.
It also includes insurance and medical and stuff like that. And what's your 5 to 10 to 15-year goal and plan?
Right.
And how do you plan on getting to that point? Are you tapped into the right resources and stuff like that? And what about the recreational stuff of your household that is needed? And then everything aside from that, you can turn around and do whatever you want to, but I believe that if you take care of your responsibility and hearing from wise counsel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. And hearing and listening and taking their advice and putting it into action, right?
Put it into the action. Yes, Lord.
Great. Oh, my goodness. We are running out of time. Listen, I'm going to go around the whole panel and just ask kind of final ending thoughts. What final piece of advice do you have for married couples? I'm going to start with Co-Pastor Felicia, but I'd like to hear from everyone. Just your final piece of advice for married couples and how they should handle their finances. And Co-Pastor Felicia, what's your final thought?
The law of congruency states if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. So if you created debt and debt created a problem, then the problem is not debt, the problem is you. And so we've got to stop addressing debt and start addressing ourselves and find out where the lack is within ourselves while we continue to be in debt. I think that we have to communicate, we have to plan, and we have to stick to our plans.
All right. Thank you, and thank you so much for joining the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. All right, Lady Chandra Scott, what is your final piece of advice for married couples and their finances?
Use the power of agreement.
Oh.
You know, the Bible says that where the brethren dwell together in unity, there the Lord commands the blessing. And as long as you're not fighting against one another, but you're on the same sheet of music, going towards the same vision, and willing to put aside all selfishness, all of your own ambition, and just submit to what is best for your home,
yeah.
That means that sometimes you can't spend when you want to spend. That means that sometimes there may be times when your spouse wants to spend and you need to give in for that season. But as long as you stay in agreement, the blessing of God is on that home and you're moving towards the right area in your finances.
Phenomenal. We certainly want the blessings on our lives. Thank you so much, Lady Chandra, for joining the show.
Thank you, Charvette.
All right, Mr. James Monterio, your final comment.
Well, my final comment is this. The Bible says when a man finds a woman, he finds a good thing. So understand that woman is there with you. She's a blessing. Your wife is a blessing.
Yeah.
And in a lot of aspects, she brings the other aspect that you may not think of. But just understand, like I said before, you have to check your egos at the door. You have to be mature, and you have to communicate with one another in dealing with finances. And understand and have forgiveness, because people will make mistakes.
Yeah.
Things charge something and they say, oh, I forgot to tell you about it, or I forgot to calculate it. But understand, find what works for you in your household, and you two come into agreement with it. Don't worry about what anybody else says, because at the end of the day, it's just you and her.
That's
so,
right.
And then just move forward in that.
All right. Thank you so much for representing the brothers very well. All right. You're welcome. Last but not least, Elder Raymond Lindsay, what's your final comment?
I would say sacrifice. Because Jesus sacrificed himself for the church. And we as men and women are sacrificing ourselves as Jesus loved the church. We are to love each other and give unto each other and make sure that we provide for each other and take care of each other. I believe that that's the best advice that we can give, that we've got to look past our own needs. just so that the other ones may live and so that we may live together.
Terrific. I love it. I love it. And thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, let's give our, oh my goodness, our panel a big round of applause again. Co-pastor Felicia Dixon, Lady Chandra Scott, Elder Raymond Lindsay, and James Monteria. Thank you so much for joining the show. And ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be right back. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back with our spotlight author, the lovely Michelle Larks, who is the author of Till Debt Do Us Part. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
Chief Apostle Olive C. Brown and International Christian Ministries present the 17th Annual Holy Convocation, coming to the Capital City Thursday, August 13th through Saturday, August 15th. We're excited to bring this dynamic gathering of kingdom people to the Richmond Marriott West in Innsbruck. The theme is the set time of kingdom favor. So come out and hear from our special guest, Bishop Kenneth Moles Sr., Dr. Cindy Trim, and Chief Apostle Olive C. Brown. We want to see you at the Richmond Marriott West for the 17th Annual Holy Convocation. Visit us online at www.internationalchristianministries.org. Call us at area code 804-594-0948. Services will be held nightly at 7 p.m. and we will host midnight musicals on Thursday, August 13th and Friday, August 14th. We invite you to come out for an unpredictable move of God.
The Professional Black Woman, where women are serious about success. We're professionals and experts in our field, and we value networking and relationships. So join us at theprofessionalblackwoman.com, where success is inevitable.
Richmond, are you ready? Redemption Productions proudly presents this all-new gospel stage play, When a Woman is Love Right, featuring comedian Antoine Scott.
Do you take this, man?
I don't know what I should do.
Girl, you can do this. They're waiting for you.
Uh-oh. Run away, bride. Run away, bride. And then hold on. Don't worry. You're going to get your gift back. Hey, wait a minute. I better get paid.
Before she can look to the future, Tanya must deal with the scars of her past.
The only love you're going to get from a man is when you're lying on your back.
No, stop.
Yeah, you know you want it.
Jack, no.
Three shows only, August 22nd and 23rd at Henrico Theater, 305 East 9 Mile Road. Tickets start at $20, available at Barkey's Bookstore or online at RedemptionProductionsLLC.com.
I may not be the first man to claim to love you, but I am the first man who's ever loved you right.
This show will sell out. Get your tickets today. Call 804-402-9113. 402-9113.
Join us for the 411 Buzz, covering artist news and entertainment with MZ Day, your voice, your story. On industrybuzz.com. That's Buzz with 3Z. She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
Nikki Singleton is blessed in many ways, with a promising career, a supportive family, and last but not least, a loving, devoted husband. She truly wants for nothing. There is, though, a craving deep down inside her that neither her husband, her family, nor her career can satisfy. Unbeknownst to everyone, she's a closet gambling addict, and much to all of their detriment, her disease has soon spun out of control. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the synopsis of the wonderful Christian fiction by Michelle Larks called Till Debt Do Us Part. And we are excited to bring Michelle to the mic right now. Michelle, welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
Thank you, Charvette. How are you?
I'm good. We're glad to have you and have a chance to chat with you.
Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. So certainly you are not a novice at this at all. I would love for you to share with our listeners a little bit about your background.
Okay. I am an older sister in her 50s. I live in the Midwest, and I've always had a love for reading.
Okay.
And my earliest memories of reading are probably around 7 or 8. I mean, my dad took me to the library every 3 weeks faithfully.
Oh.
And from that love of reading grew a love of writing. So throughout my life, I would write poetry, essays, maybe a few short stories here and there. And in 2002, my sister approached me and she said, Michelle, it's time for you to get started. You need to write that book that we know is there.
Oh,
and I have been on a writing tear since then. And writing is my passion. I love it. And initially, when I self-published my first book in 2003, it was contemporary fiction.
Okay.
And somewhere along the line, even though I looked at it as contemporary fiction, the literary community considered it Christian fiction.
Okay.
And I didn't quite understand that.
Uh-huh.
And one of my friends said, well, Michelle, did you write anything about the Lord? I said, without a doubt. She said, you think? And I said, well, that would be in any book that I would write.
Right.
And she was like, okay, you figured it out.
Uh-huh.
And Urban Books offered me a two-book contract in 2006 for their new imprint, which was the Christian fiction works, and I've just been on a tear since then, and overall,
wow.
Till Dead Do Us Part is my seventh book, so mm-hmm. I am excited, blessed, mm-hmm. and hope I can just continue to spread the word.
Absolutely, and tell our listeners some of the other titles of your book, so certainly they'll remember the titles, and that'll jog their memory.
Right, my first book that came out in 2007 with Urban Books was Keeping Misery Company,
mm-hmm.
and I followed that up in 2008. With The Legacies. And this year, just a few months, not even months ago, just a few weeks ago, Till Death Do Us Part. And that book of short stories that I mentioned was Crisis Mode.
Okay.
And it seems like my bent was writing about families or women facing crises and how their families reacted with them, helped or didn't help.
Yeah.
Sometimes the family helps, but then it seems like it's always that one person who will come down on you harder than the rest. So that's pretty much what I've been doing since 2003 and just enjoying the ride.
Oh, right. So you have to tell us how you came up with the storyline for Till Death Do Us Part. Did you know anybody that had an actual gambling addiction?
I really didn't, but in 2007, a few days after Keeping Misery Company was released, I had a house fire.
Oh, my.
And one of the places I stayed during the rebuilding of my house was at a casino hotel on the weekends. And I'm not really a gambler. I'm just a little bit more frugal by nature. If I don't have a 100% chance of winning every time, I lose interest
quickly. I hear you.
But, you know, I would go down and I would notice, you know, people gambling and being a writer, being observant, you know, I would watch their reactions and just, you know, notice the atmosphere. And that's really when I got the idea of to write a story with gambling as the central theme.
Oh, right. And so let's talk about each of the main characters, if you will. So certainly let's talk about Nicole Singleton, which we call her Nikki in the book.
Right.
Yeah, describe her to the listeners.
Nikki is a young woman, probably middle class, has had a good upbringing, mother and father in the house, college graduate, and things have come pretty easy to her most of her life. She, you know, makes the right decisions. She does things in their time, or should I say activities in their time.
Right.
She meets Jeff at college. They marry after she graduates, shortly after she graduates. She's artistic by nature. She works for an advertising firm, and her life seems to be on track.
Yeah.
Jeff, on the other hand, is the product of a single-family home raised by his mother. So he had to struggle pretty much to get ahead in life, but he had that drive. So he, too, finished college. So when he met Nikki, you know, he felt like his life was complete.
Right.
He had a 5-year plan so that they would be financially successful. Nikki's father had given both his children an apartment building free of charge, paid for, so that, you know, his children would always be able to support themselves. So They were kind of like one up on the gang. They didn't have that 30-year or 15-year mortgage. All they had to do was careful financial planning. And as Jeff put it, you know, they should be able to retire from their jobs, you know, hopefully by the age of 55.
Right.
Well, Nikki couldn't really get with the program, I guess being the free-spirited, artistic type that she was, and she felt kind of restricted by Jeff's rules.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of talking to him about them, she just kind of, you know, didn't make any attempt. She just said, well, you know, he came from a, you know, background where he didn't have access to a lot of money.
Right.
I don't really know how to approach him about this, and, you know, I'll just try and go with the program. But unfortunately, her best friend, Maya, called her one Friday. They hadn't gotten together in a while, and she said, let's go to the boat.
Uh-huh.
That's what people in Illinois calls the floating casinos. Let's go to the boat. You know, we'll have fun. They have a great buffet. We'll be able to talk, you know, spend a little money. And little did Maya know that she had introduced Nikki to her greatest addiction.
Wow.
And that is the premise of the story, how she overcame that addiction with the help of family, the church, her minister, who was also her godfather, and had a few twists and turns in there. She learned some things about her father that she had never known before.
Right.
So that's the premise of the story.
Wow. And you know what? I certainly wanted to talk about those good girlfriends.
Right.
Yeah. The good girlfriends, Maya and Pearl and Ariel. It's interesting how you interwove a couple of themes throughout the book, right? So certainly that finance and that marriage part that we're talking about. But then the kind of the relationships with friends and
how it influences relationships.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes someone can make a statement and, you know, it'll affect you and you'll say, well, if she can do that, I can do that. And sometimes it can just get you into trouble, as it did in Nikki's case.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, and we are in our segment called Till Debt Do Us Part, certainly talking about marriage and finances. Earlier you heard a phenomenal panel who just hung out in the studio and talked about marriage and finances, and now we're speaking to our author spotlight, the lovely Michelle Larks, who is the author of Till Debt Do Us Part. Michelle, tell our listeners while they're listening, where can they purchase the book?
Till Debt Do Us Part can be purchased at most bookstores, definitely online at Amazon.com,
mm-hmm.
those other type of establishments, and Black Expressions Book Club. So a variety of places. So wherever you decide to look, you should be able to find it.
Oh, right. And give them your web address as well.
You can visit me on the web, and if you do, please leave a comment in my guest book. I'm at www.michellelarks, that's Michelle with two L's, .com.
Oh, right. Phenomenal. And so what have been the responses to people around your book? And I think this will be a great book club book as well.
So far, it's been pretty good. You know, writing Christian fiction is a challenge in and of itself.
Absolutely.
Because we have certain parameters that we have to use when writing a story. But I think overall, and I've been blessed with most of my books, people seem to be able to find the message that I'm trying to impart when I write the stories.
Yeah.
So that's been a plus also. So far, you know, I'm getting emails, getting feedback, and so far it looks to be doing pretty good, holding its own.
Oh, right. And what would you say would be the main, kind of maybe the top one or two themes that you really want people to walk away with, certainly around marriage and finances, and then anything else dealing with relationships?
I want people to take out of that book specifically that there is no mountain you can't overcome if God is by your side. You know,
yeah.
There are not any obstacles that you can't face. Things may not go exactly as you plan, but he's the one in charge, and as long as you believe and trust in him, he'll get you through that crisis that you're facing.
Right.
Because Nikki, she had really dug her and Jeff into a bad hole, you know, pretty bad. But when she finally came clean, although she didn't really come clean so much as being found out.
Right.
Because her goal at
there
that
is
point
a difference.
Was,
there is a difference.
Right, her goal at that point was, I got to make this money back. I got to make this money back. You know, the
right.
walls are closing in on me.
Yeah.
But, you know, once, you know, they communicated, he found out, and they were able to move beyond the hurt part.
Yeah.
You know, she did her part, but... You know, it just took counseling, advice from people that you know have your best interests at heart.
Yes.
And it just takes a lot of dedication when you do wrongs to that degree. You know, the trust has to be rebuilt. But, you know, if it's meant for you and your love is strong, I believe you can overcome all obstacles and even life, you know, even those
yeah.
obstacles you face in life. With God by your side, you can definitely do it.
Oh, right. We certainly agree here at the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. So I certainly enjoyed Till Death Do Us Part. I'm telling you, that's why I named the whole segment Till Death Do Us Part. I said, you know what, I need to pull a panel together. We need to talk about marriage and family.
I listened to part of it, and it was quite interesting.
They were.
Was.
Yeah, it's, and I was saying earlier that finances, money is the most commonly reported reason for marital discord.
Correct.
You know, that's
yes.
across the nation. So certainly,
right.
you know, this is something on people's minds.
Right, definitely. And like I said, I saw so many people, you know, the place was just packed, you know.
Yeah.
People in wheelchairs, you know, carrying oxygen tents with them. It was just amazing because I had just never experienced anything
right.
like that. And, you know, just hoping, you know, that their number would fall or the dice would fall or
right. Lucky
on the slot
seven.
Machine, you
uh-huh.
know, just praying. But as we know, the odds are always with the house and not with the gambler.
Exactly.
So you can almost figure out what the outcome is going to be.
Wow, wow, wow. So can we look for a sequel, a prequel?
Right now, believe it or not, I'm finally working on a sequel to Keeping Misery Company.
Okay, okay.
And a lot of people, it was just amazing to me, a lot of people really requested sequel. But what I've been doing with these last couple of books, including the book that's coming out in 2010, I'm bringing back characters.
Okay.
So you'll at least have an inkling of what's going on with them. So I'm kind of making my new characters' lives intertwined with the older characters. So that's what I'm doing in that case.
All right, fabulous. What else is on the horizon for Michelle Larks? Are you at any book signings or events or anything coming up, or should we just kind of check out your website to see what's
going
on?
Check out my website.
Okay.
I have a book signing. Actually, I was at a Borders Express last Saturday. This Saturday I'm off on the 29th.
Mm-hmm.
There is a event called Book Clubs Unite.
Okay.
Kind of on a small scale to the book club meeting, the annual, the big meeting they have usually in Atlanta every year.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to be participating in that with about 17 other authors, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Outstanding.
And then quite a few, I have quite a few book signings at bookstores next month going into October, so, you know, interested listeners can definitely check out my website, michellelarks.com. I have a calendar, and it usually details where I'm going to be and the time.
All right. And do you have any other connection points, MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, any of that?
All of the above.
All right.
I am out there, you know, online. You know, I think I have somewhat of a presence, but I'm definitely on MySpace, Twitter,
okay.
Facebook, all those Ning groups,
yeah.
Michelle Fari, Goodreads, classmates.com. So I'm trying to keep that presence out there on
That's
the internet.
That's right. Keep doing it big. Keep doing it big. Well, we certainly have enjoyed talking to you and have enjoyed your book, and so glad that you gave me this, I think, interesting topic, Till Death Do Us Part, and we certainly wish you continued success on this project and any of your upcoming projects.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you having me on the show today. I've enjoyed myself.
You are quite welcome, and thank you. All right, listeners, guess what? That is going to wrap up another edition of the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We want to remind you to join my official email list. That's right. And you're going to do that by going to my official website, which is www.mitchell-productions.com. Again, that's Mitchell-productions.com. productions.com, and there you can join my email list. You can connect with me on Facebook. You can connect with me on Twitter. I'm still on MySpace. I'm still giving MySpace a chance. I know they're trying to pull MySpace down. MySpace, I'm still giving you a chance. I'm still out there. I love all of the networking sites, so certainly connect with me. If you have show topics, suggestions, we'll be glad to hear from you. Listen, you want to check out next week's show. We're going to be talking to the lovely Diamond, and who's going to be talking to us about a conference that's coming to the Delaware area. Certainly you want to check that out, and we're just glad that you came by and stopped by the show. And until we meet again, we certainly want to say peace and love. Bye-bye.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, you've been listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Catch Charvette Mitchell every Tuesday at 6 p.m. interviewing all the stars you want to hear from. So until next week, stay motivated, excited, and influenced. This is the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.